Don't have any special singing tonight, see? I'm not going to do it. It would be special. Huh? They showed up. All right, I guess we'll let them off the hook. They're probably still watching the football game. But we'll... Got it done. 2 Samuel chapter 7. Got a little bit of extra reading to do with this verse, this chapter, but we'll go with it. Verse 1 says, "And it came to pass when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. And Nathan said to the king, Go and do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, Go and tell my servant David, Thus saith the Lord, Shalt thou build me a house for me to dwell in, whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but I have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. In all the places wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, Why build ye not me an house of cedar? Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more, neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. According to all these words and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. Then went King David in and sat before the Lord, and he said, Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? And this was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God, but thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come. And is this the manner of man, O Lord God? And what can David say more unto thee? For thou, Lord God, knowest thy servant. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word now, and I pray that our minds be cleared and our hearts prepared, Lord, to hear from you tonight. And I pray that your word go forth with conviction power. Lord, meet our needs, Lord, through your word tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. When God says no, the title of the message, When God Says No. The parallel account to this section of the Bible is in 1 Chronicles chapter 17. It goes along and actually gives a little more detail and really a little more direct at the fact that God said no. We're looking at the man, and we see David, a man after God's own heart. He was yielded totally to God. I mean, he was going to do what God wanted him to do. He had visions and dreams and God was using him. Of course, he was the king at this particular time. Now he's set up as the king. And he set his heart upon what he believed to be God's plan for his life. We were talking about this in Sunday school, how God speaks to us sometimes of restlessness. We were talking about that this morning, a restless spirit about things. And David started thinking, looking at what he had. He knew that God blessed him, and he started looking at the blessings that he had and the house that he had, and it was a fine place. It was a nice place, and I'm a really nice place. And he looked at that, and he said, man, I'm living in this house, And he said, yet the Lord is living, the representative of the Lord, didn't have a tabernacle, or didn't have the temple, but they had a tabernacle, which was really a glorified tent. He said he's living in a tent, had curtains is what the word that he used right there. And he thought, well, you know what? He goes, I just got this thought in my mind. I mean, it came from somewhere that I'm going to build a house for God. He was going to build the temple. That's what his thought was. Of course, they had the Ark of the Covenant that would be in the center in the Holy of Holies, which was a tangible representation of God Almighty. And we talked about that last week, a week before, somewhere along the way. And here he had this thing, but God said, no. God said, you're not going to build my house. He said, you're going to have a son. We know it's Solomon. He's going to build the house. God said no to him. And, you know, we think maybe there's times in our life that God may say no to you about something. I mean, this isn't a sinful thing. It's not, we know God's going to say no to that. But, this was a good thing. It was a positive thing. And eventually the temple, it was something that God was going to accomplish. It was going to happen, a temple. There was plans for it and everything. It was all laid out. They were going to have the plans. So it wasn't like a bad thing that he was looking to do. It wasn't a sinful thing. I believe that God, everything that David did as far as God was concerned was for God's glory. I mean, he didn't need it. He didn't want it. He was king of Israel, and he didn't need to have any glory as far as that went. And maybe in our life sometimes there's a direction we want to go, something we want to do, maybe a ministry. Maybe I want to do this in the ministry, or I'd like to do that. I want to start this up. Maybe you wanted to, it could be anything, any number of things in the ministry. It wouldn't be a bad thing, but God might say no to whatever that we decide that we think it's on our mind, it's on our heart a lot of times. And so we think about that and we look at it tonight. You know, how do we react when God says no to us on something in that vein, something that's not a sinful thing, something that would even be a thing that eventually would get done as far as God was concerned? How do we react to that? Or how do we handle it when God says no in our life? As I said, David was conscious of where he lived and where God, what represented God's house on earth there. And I said he loved the Lord. He had a desire to serve the Lord. And you know what? And he was serving him. He was serving the Lord. At this time in his life, David was under 40 years old. So he's probably somewhere in his 30s right now. And that's the time of life, listen, believe me, when you're younger in the ministry or younger serving God, there's a time in your life where, listen, man, the drive is there, the initiative is there, that this is what I'm going to get done for God. I mean, we can do great things. It's always going to be in the power of God, the strength of God, whatever. But, man, he's thinking, listen, I'm here in my life. Listen, this is what I want to undertake. Listen, building that temple wasn't going to be. That was a project, buddy. If any of y'all ever built on, did an addition, built a house, you know what kind of nightmares that is or can be. But building this temple wasn't going to be any different. And so he thought, well, this is what, you know, I think that what I want to do now. Right now they had rest from their enemies. Nothing was going on. Perfect time in David's life, in national life, probably to go ahead and build a temple. This is what he wanted to do. So I just got 3 points that we'll look at, kind of help us along. Because if God hadn't said no to you about something that wouldn't have been a bad thing, he might. He maybe and probably will somewhere along in your life, so we can learn some things from this tonight. The very first thing we see is heaven's denial. Heaven's denial. Like I said, I believe David's motives were pure. I mean, what he wanted to do for the glory of God. What do we say our sole purpose on life is to glorify God, right? I think David had this thing figured out from an early age, man, all the way down when he dealt with Goliath. He was fighting for God in that. I believe this. I think every person that's ever really had an encounter with Jesus Christ, I mean, God's got a hold of you, and you're really saved. I think anybody that God's got a hold of that way has a desire to do their very best for God. They want to do something for God. I mean, it's just, you know, I think especially younger people, when God gets a hold of you and you're just, you know, you're in the loop of everything and you're faithful at church and all that, I think there's a time when God speaks and says, listen, or you have a thought about doing something for God. I want to serve God somehow, a desire. And, you know it's a surrender. Listen, serving God is it's a sacrifice. I'm going to tell you, it's a surrender. It's not easy, especially, listen, if you're not, God, in the churches that we are prone to be in, most churches, it's, we're working with the volunteer army. If you're not full-time and you're not on the payroll, then you got a regular job. And just most people that serve God in churches got a job. Most Sunday school teachers are doing something else. Man, you can't wait till everybody's either too young or too old. We get all the retired people to say, it doesn't work that way. It's just the way it is. So it's a sacrifice. But you know what? Like I said last week, the only way that you can serve God, and I said something about today, your whole heart. When you're wholeheartedly into something, then those other things don't matter. And so, a lot of times, though, also along the way of serving God, a lot of people start off very well. But what happens is, it's kind of like the seed in the parable of the sower. What happened? Some of that seed fell on thorny ground. The thorns, which represented the cares of this world, rose up and choked out the Word of God. And I think a lot of people, this is what happens in life. They want to serve God to some capacity. They have that desire. But then what happens? Guess what? The cares of this world and the cares of this life begin to choke out things. And God gets kind of choked out of the priority that He ought to have in our life. And the deceitfulness of riches, the Bible talks about that. The deceitfulness of riches get in the way. And then what happens? Our lives, as far as God is concerned, become unfruitful lives, can't produce any fruit. But you know what? In David's case, this wasn't the problem. I mean, think about David. He was the king of Israel and Judah. Think about the millions of people that were under his care. He's on the throne. And all the responsibility that goes with the day-to-day care of the kingdom. Not only the day-to-day care of the kingdom, he had the day-to-day care of his household, which was great. All the servants, all the flocks, all the things that had to be dealt with, and all the problems that would rise up in a society. But he decides in the middle of that I want to build a house for God, a place to represent God on earth. It was elaborate. I mean, it was going to be an elaborate thing. Just a beauty. It was going to be big. I mean, it was going to represent God, the glory of God. And like I said earlier, with construction projects, changes and this and that, and things you got to get around to get it done. He was going to take that on as well. And Nathan, even sometimes we were talking about in Sunday school hour, we were talking about how God speaks sometimes, and sometimes God used circumstances and restless spirit. We talked about that this morning, and then we're going to end up probably sometimes other people. Nathan the prophet said, let me see how he worded it because I know I'll mess it up. Nathan the prophet said this. He said to the king, go do, in verse 3, all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. He got a favorable answer from Nathan, right? I mean, why? And we would think, Nathan being a prophet that he is, that would have sure been a sure sign that God was in this deal and that this was going to be the way to go. But see, Nathan was probably thinking the same thing. Listen, it's not a sinful thing. It's an honorable thing. It's needed to be done. And down the road, it was going to get done. One way or the other, he probably thought, he said, man, go do everything. Whatever's in your heart, God is with David. And God was with David. God's with us even when he says no. Sometimes, we'll see this along the way. Even when God says no, he's with us all along the way. And so, like I said, this account is in 1 Chronicles 17:4. It's a little bit more clear that God said no, even though we see it right here. And here's another thing I want to say about that in heaven's denial. There was no explanation given in this account as to why God said no. He didn't say. Does he have to? Huh? Listen, God is sovereign, right? God can. Now, listen, it's not a, and don't look at it like this. We're going to see some things we get here a little bit deeper in this. It wasn't, God didn't give him a cold no. Nope. You're not going to do it. He didn't say it that way. And he talked to him. He encouraged him a little bit along the way after he told him no. He encouraged him in a lot of things along the way. But and like I say, later years, it wasn't until later years, the accounts in 1 Chronicles chapter 22, that God told David why. that he wasn't going to build the temple. And he told him this, because he had shed blood abundantly and made great war. That's basically what he told him. 2 Chronicles 22, around verse 8, right along in there. The house of God was to be a symbol of peace and rest. But David had shed blood. And a lot of that bloodshed, you know, I mean, David was led that way. God led him that way. He had to defeat the enemies that he had all around about him. That was what God wanted him to do. But God said, listen, no, you're not going to build the house. But God doesn't always have to explain why. One day we might find out why God says no to us on things. Maybe if it isn't in this life, maybe in the next, and maybe not. I don't know for sure. I'm not going to stand here and say, well, we're going to know everything, reasons why of everything. We might, but I don't know that. And so, you know, the point of view is everything. I tell you all this stuff all the time. I haven't seen it in a long time, but this show used to come on. It's called Brain Games. And they show you a lot of things with optical illusions. It's just how you perceive it. They'll show you something. The one cool one that I saw was this, like you're looking into a room. I probably shared this with you before. But you're looking into a room, and you see back there, you see a picture on the wall. And, you know, size has everything to do with space in our mind. A picture on the wall looks like it's right. And then it looked like there was a glass that was really close to you, like a little wine glass sitting on the counter there and everything, and you look at it like this, and then what happens, they start changing the angle, and the wine glass is way in the back, it's really huge, and the little picture that you thought was on the wall was way up in the foreground, it's really small, but you made it look like it was in the back because of the size of it. It just had to do with, all you had to do was change how you look at it. So we see things from God's side. See, we look at it from our side. When we look at everything from God's point of view, there'll be times when God says no in your life. I remember, you know, didn't our parents do that to us sometimes? Did your parents ever say no to you and you just didn't understand it? You just couldn't figure out why? Huh? Yeah, you know, I want to go out and play in the middle of the interstate, you know, and you just can't figure out why your parents won't let you do that. Huh? We was at one time, but I look back on this, man, I thought this was dumb as a rock, man. But when we was kids and we were talking about the climate change, I grew up in Virginia Beach, so you know what, the climate's a little bit milder than it is here. But it used to get cold there. My grandmother lived on a lake. It wasn't a real big lake, but it was a lake there. And it got cold enough one winter, snowed, and we had ice. You get 2 inches of ice, it's safe enough to cruise around on. People ice skated on it and all that. And me and my buddies would go out there. We were into fishing all summer long. We got this bright idea. We're going to go fishing with a hole in the ice. So we're out there in the middle of the lake with an axe. And we're banging on the lake. We're standing out in the middle of the thing, banging on it. This lady was up at her house banging on the window up in this one house looking at, you know. And if our parents knew, guess what they would have said? Or my grandmother, I was at my grandmother's. They would have said, don't cut a hole in the ice. Even though we cut a square hole in the ice and we didn't fall through, but I thought, I wonder about them people ice skating later on tonight. No, I don't know. Anyway, that put some cones up out there. But you know what I'm saying? There's things that you want to do. You don't understand why, but our parents might say no. And my mom and dad, I'm going to tell you what, my dad was of the, he would have fit very well into this story. Dad said no, and it didn't matter why. Because I said so. God was probably a little gentler with David. Did your parents ever do it that way? I said no, and you wonder why? Because I said so. Did anybody tell you, huh? Yeah, that's right. That's all you need to know. Okay. God says no. But God did tell David why later on. And when we see things from God's point of view, if we could see, and sometimes we can, through the Word of God, we can see things from God's point of view. And that would make all the difference in the response that we got. The second thing, we see the heart response. Well, how do we react? When we was a kid and mom and dad wouldn't let you play in the interstate or cut a hole in the ice or play with a monkey wrench in the water machine, the whale or something, how did you react to that? You know, how do we usually react when we have a denial of something that we have our hearts set on doing? Especially if you have your heart set on doing it. It's like, oh man, I mean, there's a lot of things we could do. What's what we probably do? Sit and pout about it. Whine. Argue. That's another good one. When you get old, you argue. Or just give up. Just quit. Discuss it. Well, I'm not doing nothing. How about that? How about that attitude? Do nothing. And let your life go to waste. But David didn't do that. Matter of fact, it became the fact that God said no. Now, I don't know that David knew this. We look in the Word of God. When God says no, it may and probably will become an occasion for blessing when God says no. It may become an occasion for blessing. God said in 2 Chronicles 6:8, he said, "For as much as it was in thine heart to build a house for my name, thou didst well in that it was in thine heart." God said that to David. This was later on. He said, you know what? He goes, the fact that it was in your heart, he said, that was a good thing. And David could walk through life, the rest of his life, with the afterglow of knowing that God took note that it was in his heart to build a house, even though God didn't let him do it. God noticed that. I mean, I think that was a blessing all the days of life, even though he refused the request. And it was something David could think about all his life. In Revelation 22:16, Jesus said, "I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star." Now think about this. Matter of fact, I'll get a little bit ahead of myself when I tell you this, but we see that David went in and sat before the Lord and he talked to the Lord. And this is what happened. And this is how the Lord was encouraging him in the fact that he said no. Solomon's not mentioned. David's probably going to be the one remembered for building the temple in a sense, but instead of Solomon. But Jesus didn't say, "I'm the root and the offspring of Solomon." Well, partly because Jesus didn't come through Solomon's line. But this is what it said, the Bible, the Word of God, in the New Testament, even in the book of Revelation, it says that Jesus said, "I am the root and offspring of David and the bright and morning star." Think about that. Would you rather be known for building a temple for the Lord, for God, or have Jesus say, "I'm the root and the offspring of," fill in the blank with your name? Think about that honor right there, the honor that God put on David in his life. He's kind of helping him along the way. You know, when he starts to talk to him, he's encouraging his heart. And you know what David did? Instead of sitting around pouting, he said, "All right, well, I'm not going to be able to build it, but I'll tell you what, I'm going to gather up all the material." You know that when Solomon got ready to build the temple, they didn't have to gather any material? All the material, I think it was over and above. All the material that they needed, David had set about the rest of his life gathering all the gold, all the silver, all the precious stones, all the lumber, the cedars, and all the stuff. He gathered that the rest of his life. He said, "Well, you know, if I can't build it," he said, "I'm going to gather all the material for it. I'm going to get it ready." I mean, in that sense, David had as much going on with building the temple as anybody did. So, you know, when we think about this, if you can't build, you can gather materials. If you can't go, you can send somebody else. I mean, that's what we can do, you know, as Christians. We can do what we can do. We have to start thinking about things. So God's refusal and his refusals in life are filled with immeasurable possibilities of blessing. Because we said this morning, we said other times, we say, well, you know, we feel like God has a plan for our life somehow. And if God says no here, guess what? He's going to have something else for you. He's got something else for you. Man, that's happened plenty of times in my life. Plenty of times in my life when God just didn't. Listen, I wanted to be a missionary instead of a preacher in a church. Why? Because I knew what being a preacher in a church was going to entail. And it isn't just preaching. It's not the preaching part of it. I knew it was like the other things that go along with it, the other blessings of being a pastor of a church. I knew what that was going to be like. I wanted to do that. Listen, another church called me, wanted me to try out to be the pastor at another church around here. And it was me and another guy. And, they set it up where one guy went and preached for 5 weeks, the other guy went and preached, and then we had to come in and preach on the church one time. Anyway, I was all excited about it. Nobody wants to be rejected, right? This was like in August of the particular year. It was like August, I think. But you know what? I started getting a bad feeling about it, that I knew that they were going to vote on a certain night. I was still working my job. But nobody likes to be rejected. On the one hand, I wanted them to say that, hey, you're the guy. But I started getting a real bad feeling about it. And I wasn't at peace about it. It was like I was a nervous afraid. And a guy called me up. He said, hey, brother. He said, listen, man, they didn't have, like our bylaws, it's got to be 90% vote call of a pastor. They didn't have that, so 51% to get it, right? He says, really close. He said, but they took the other guy. And it was like, I mean, God had already prepared me because I wasn't at peace. And it was like, whew. I said, that's all right, brother. I said, God got something else for me. And it was like, whew. I mean, I felt like shouting, man. I mean, I didn't know what God had. I didn't know. I just didn't know. But it was a relief for that to take place. And in November, this church, I was a member here. Those of you that was around then, Stanley and Shelby, Kyle. Anybody else in here that was around then? Just Stanley and Shelby right now. I mean, we got other people in the church that are not here. They called me to be the pastor. They said, hey, we want to call you to be the pastor. See, God already knew this. And the blessing was this. Oh, I don't know. I was a pastor about 1 or 2 years, and then my company left, and then they said, hey, we're going to call you to be, I was going to go full-time pastoring. That's a blessing. It's a blessing. For 2 years, I preached. I did Sunday school. I did Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and I worked a full-time job. I did all those things. And people, how do you do it? Well, just had to do it through God. You spend a lot of time studying. You had to do a little bit every day. You just had to do a little bit every day. But anyway, when we built this on right here, we built all this on, and we was out here, and by then, of course, I was full-time, and I was right out here in the front, right here, and we were waiting on the bricks to come in, the bricks to do all the brick side, and they had everything going on, and this truck come rolling in from the building supply place. Guess who was driving it? The other pastor that they called to pastor the other church, because it was a smaller church, and you had to keep working there for a while. I mean, it might be full-time now, but... And there ain't nothing wrong with that. I mean, if that's the way it is, but that would have been me. That would have been me. That guy pulled in. He was dry. He was still having to work and try to pastor a church at the same time. The blessing was I didn't have to do that. And, so God said no in that one case. And yet there was another blessing that came out of that. You just do what God have you to do when God have you to do it. So God's refusals in life are filled with immeasurable possibilities of blessing. And then the third thing we see is heaven's recognition. Look in verse 18. This is a particular verse right here. It said, then went King David in and sat before the Lord. And he said, who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that thou hast brought me hither unto? Notice that it said this, that then went King David in and sat before the Lord. That's an unusual sentence. Usually you see somebody that knelt before the Lord or fell prostrate before the Lord. It said he went and sat before the Lord. And through Nathan, God gave David a tremendous promises and comfort along in his life. And the Lord spoke even to David's heart. And the Lord reminded David of what he had been called from. You know what he said? He told him, and through Nathan, we saw it in our text today. And this is what God said. He said, I took you from the sheep coat. That means washing sheep. Sheep coat was a place they'd keep them. I took you from watching sheep. He was the least of his father's sons, the youngest one. I took you from watching sheep, and I set you up to be king. Huh? Listen, God, you know, God through Nathan is building David up. I'm not going to let you build the temple, but look, you know how we do? We look at the glass being half empty instead of half full. We look at what we don't have a lot of times instead of what we do have. Huh? And to get him focused on that, he said, I took you from watching sheep, a humble, lowly place. I'm sure there's more to watching sheep than what we know about if we don't watch sheep, but I mean, how hard can it be, right? I'm just thinking. I mean, and he preserved David all those years. He preserved him when Saul was trying to kill him and Saul was pursuing him. God preserved David for years after year after year from anybody, from his enemies, from taking his life, from all the danger. And then eventually he gave him rest from all his enemies. David goes in there and sits before the Lord. He went in there and he started thinking about that. He went in there and he went to worship God. Just think about this, that he had a conversation, a communion with God. He started thinking about this in his life and thought about all the blessings that God had given him. Boy, if you ever start feeling all pouty and and I know y'all never do this, but in case you do, you start feeling sorry for yourself. You know, oh man, these other people and this and that and the blessing. I remember I have to do a lot of stuff around here sometimes. And I mean, sometimes I'll get like that. Man, if I'm in there fixing the toilet, I'm thinking, man, I bet these other pastors around here don't got to be laying in here on the bathroom floor fixing toilet. And I used to mow the grass and think the same thing, so I'd be out there sweating. I bet you them other preachers around here aren't mowing their grass and doing that. But then sometimes I thought, you know what? You have to stop and think, hey, guess what? But you got something to mow, right? You got something. I'm glad we got a toilet, right? Indoor plumbing, modern technology. Just think about what we've got. You start thinking about the blessings. I think it's a good thing to do sometime, to sit down and just start thinking what you do have. What could it be like? What would your life be like today if God hadn't taken you from the place that you were in life and brought you up to be a child of His? Just think about that honor right there. What a privilege that is. I mean, that's an honor, a child of the King. I mean, to think about that. Think about where God brought you from and the thought that I always have sometimes is the thought, thinking about the fact that God even thought about me to start with. That He ever thinks about us. Think about that. What an honor that is. What a privilege that God thinks about us and that God wants a relationship with us. I mean, He really desires this. He wants to walk with us. He wants to talk with us. He wants to use us. He wants to love us, and He does. And He wants to fill us with His own self. I mean, this is God's desire more than anything. This is what He wants. Man, what a blessing that is. The fact that you can just come before God. Listen, you're right here in church today. Listen, I pray it doesn't end right here. I pray that when you go home tonight that you have a communion and a relationship with God tonight when you get home. And when you get up in the morning that you spend a little time with God, that you can pray and think and don't take that for granted, that you have the privilege of coming before God in prayer and that God is hearing your prayer. And not only does God hear your prayer, He wants your prayer more than anything. He wants that communion with you, that fellowship with Him, and that you can worship God. What an honor that God has bestowed upon us to be, just to save us, to send His Son in our place. He sent His Son in your place. Put your name there. He sent His Son to die in your place. So you don't get to build the temple. So what? Huh? What else? I mean, it's not going to top this. It's not going to top this. We have an honor far above any no that God would ever say. Or may say. David was overwhelmed. He was overwhelmed when he started to look at that. Look in verse 10, in verse 18, he said, I sat before the Lord. And he said, Who am I, Lord, that you have done this? When he looked out there at the kingdom and what all he had to do and what all God had blessed him with and what everything that God, he said, who am I? I don't even understand it. He said, I can't even understand it. We should feel that same way. We can't even understand it. All the blessings. It would do us all good to sit before God sometime and think like that. Just think about what God has Especially, you know, you get one of them days, like I said, when it's kind of down, everything looks negative. Everything looks like it's against you. You don't understand why. You don't know how. And just sit there and think, wait a minute, let me see. You know, we sing, count your many blessings, name them one by one. Try that. I mean, really do it. We just sing about it. We don't. Let's try doing that. Just think about that. Boy, what a blessing that would be. It would be good for us. Sit before the Lord and let Him remind us of all that He has done for us. And look what David said, his conclusion in verse 20, David speaking about himself. He said, and what can David say more? He's kind of speaking in the third person. And what can David say more unto thee? For thou, Lord God, knowest thy servant. You know what happens when you worship God this way and you start thinking about the blessings of God in your life? David, he couldn't even speak. He was speechless. Man, when you get before God and you get to the speechless state where there's nothing that you can't even say anything, boy, you on worshiping ground right there. Huh? You were on worshiping ground. Remember that song, that I Can Only Imagine song that went on, like, you know, what's it going to be like? I think the gist of the song, what's it going to be? Am I going to do this? Am I going to do that? One of the lines, I think, said something, will I be able to say anything at all? I don't think. We may not. Huh? You may not be. You wouldn't know what to say. You'd be so overwhelmed with full of the love of God, the emotion of the moment, and just not even being able to speak. And I believe that's on worshiping ground. You know what? David might not have gotten to that place in verse 18 and 20 if God hadn't have said no. That might not have happened. That's the blessing. Huh? That's the blessing of it. We might not have gotten to this place of worship. And our communion with God is more important and a greater blessing than anything we could ever do for God. God really doesn't need anything. I mean, He uses us, but He doesn't really. Our fellowship, our communion with God is great, it's more important and greater than anything we could ever do or try to do for God. But we might never get there without a no along the way, huh? Guess what would have happened? I'm just using this as just practical. David got busy building that temple. How much time do you think he would have had to fellowship with God? Huh? Sometimes things we want, a promotion, or even things. Oh, we'd like to have a summer home down at the beach. You know what? If you got a summer home at the beach, you know what you're going to be doing? Every time there's a storm, you're worrying about that. You wondering if somebody broke in. You wondering if you got to run down there and cut the grass. You got my buddy Chili that came here in the fall. Remember Chili? Chili got a house in Arkansas. It's 5 hours away. In the summer, every third week. Every third week in the summer, he drives on Friday night or Saturday morning. Saturday morning, he gets up at 3:30 and he drives all the way to Arkansas. And he treats the pool, and he mows all the grass and everything, and then he misses church on Sunday because he's down there in Arkansas doing all the stuff he needs to do for the house. They got it on Verbo or whatever. And then he comes back on Sunday night all the way back, drives and gets back late on Sunday night. You're missing, you know, that's what happens to you. Some of the things that we want and desire in life, and sometimes, you know what God said to me about that? No. we would be so tied up, it would cut into our fellowship with God, really. We might not get to this place David got to without a no. God gave David a promise or promises, and God has given us a promise for every need. You know, we got a promise for every need in our life in the Word of God. We got promises for that. When God says no to something very precious to us, He brings us close to His heart and shows us that every need is met in Him. That's good stuff. Amen? Let's all stand for that. God spoke to your heart tonight. A little altar time. Boy, what a time to just honor God by bowing before Him here at the altar tonight.